chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you say it coming, no time to play out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Rest my dab in the middle of it. Rest my dab in the middle. We are rest my dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. This is George Butler. We've got a fine program going this week. The Russians are still trying to make some headway over in the Ukraine, and the Ukrainian people are fighting. And we've had that Zelensky speech to a group of congressional leaders in their new auditorium. And he's reaching out for help. He wants a no-fly zone, but that's not going to be possible. But he did solicit a great amount of additional weapon system. And the Russians seem to be talking a little bit more about it. I'm going to conclude this program tonight with some of my opinions about what will happen over there in the Ukraine and Russia. But first, we're going to start with Greg Reese, followed by an excellent Francis Borrell announcement and pronouncements being interviewed by Owen Stroyer. Here we go with Greg Reese.
The first nation to successfully weaponize and mass produce deadly pathogens was Great Britain during the start of World War II, soon followed by the United States, Germany, France, and Japan. While many nations mass-produced them, Japan was notorious for deploying biological weapons, killing almost 500,000 Chinese soldiers and civilians in several military campaigns, including the 1940 bombing of Ningbo, China, when Japan's secret bioweapons unit 731 dropped ceramic bombs full of living fleas carrying the bubonic plague. German pharmaceutical company IG Farben Bayer conducted fatal human experiments on prisoners and killed over 1 million people with its cyanide-based Zyklon B. The U.S. established their own bioweapons program at Fort Detrick, Maryland in 1942, and by the end of the war, brand new facilities were completed for mass production of anthrax and other bioweapons. After the war, the directors of IG Farben were punished at the Nuremberg trials, but the scientists were secretly absorbed into America's bioweapons program. Japan was planning to attack the city of San Diego, California, with weaponized plague, but they surrendered 3 weeks prior to the scheduled attack. And while Japanese researchers arrested by Soviet forces were tried for war crimes, those captured by the United States were secretly given immunity in exchange for working with the U.S. bioweapons team. Long after World War II, the U.S. bioweapons program continued to expand with the help of Japanese and German war criminals. And in 1969, the U.S. government officially terminated their offensive biological weapons program, continuing on with a defensive biological weapons program, which was nothing more than a change of language ahead of the Biological Weapons Convention in 1972. The U.S. would continue to experiment with and produce deadly pathogens, but now under the guise of defense, and mostly defense against Russia. Of all the nations involved in bioweapons research, Russia factors in very little. The U.S. government claims that the Soviet Union had the biggest bioweapons program in history, but this is based solely on a mysterious 1979 anthrax leak and the lone testimony of Soviet defector Ken Alibek, who has also been absorbed into the U.S. bioweapons program, and who has helped the U.S. surround Russia with dangerous bioweapons labs. Russia is now releasing confiscated documents of the work that was being conducted in the NATO-backed biolabs they have secured in Ukraine. These labs were allegedly developing genetically engineered bioweapons to target specific Slavic people and experimenting with ways of spreading pathogens via bats, ticks, lice, and fleas, like the work Japan's Unit 731 was doing before being secretly brought into the U.S. Meanwhile, Bill Gates is currently allowed to release hundreds of millions of genetically modified mosquitoes within the United States as some sort of disease control experiment. You can say what you want about Vladimir Putin in Russia, but they aren't the ones waging war against the people of the West. That would be the World Economic Forum, the big banks, and their lackeys of the Great Reset agenda. After the U.S. government sanctioned all the Russian people, Putin responded by only targeting a few known criminals of the Great Reset cabal, as if sending a message to the Americans that we share the same enemies, whereas the global elites are working towards destroying the nation-states. Russia is reinventing the nation-state. Russia hopes to be the world's biggest producer of organic farming, while the globalists are pushing for genetically modified foods, bugs, and synthetic meat. The globalists are actively destroying the family, down to the mother's womb, while Russia seeks to build a society based on family and Christian values. The Russian government provides fallout shelters for the civilian population to potentially survive a nuclear war. And the U.S. government has absolutely nothing for the people. We are on our own. But FEMA reminds us to remain socially distanced while our government robs us blind and starts a nuclear war. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Okay, Greg Reese is always insightful. Here we go. We're coming up next is an interview Francis Ball by Owen Fraher. And he is the man that set out the UN Bioweapons Treaty. And he also has been working steadily and ardently, you could say, against these bioweapons over the years. But here we go with Francis Ball, and he tells it like it is. He uses the word Nazi, but you could substitute the word fascist and you get the same meaning. But here we go now with Francis Ball and Owen Fraher.
Based on my knowledge, judgment, and experience and everything I have seen in the public record so far, yes, these are biological warfare weapons, offensive biological warfare weapons laboratories set up by the Pentagon. Remember, the Pentagon does not do missionary work. They kill people, and that's why they are there. And it is now coming out, I've seen some of the documents produced by the Russian government. Yes, it appears that's exactly what they were doing. Indeed, there is a BSL-3 down there in Odessa. And if you look at websites for BSL-3s, which I have done repeatedly, you will see they research, develop, test, stockpile, prepare for use every type of hideous Nazi biological warfare weapon you can possibly imagine, using DNA, genetic engineering, gain of function, and now synthetic biology, which, by the way, I also covered in my Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act. Every U.S. citizen and resident involved in these activities is subject to life imprisonment under my statute.
And my guest joining me now is Dr. Francis Boyle, a leading American expert in international law. He was responsible for drafting the Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989, the American implementing legislation for the 1972 Biological Weapons Convention. He served on the board of the directors of Amnesty International from 1988 to 1992 and represented Bosnia-Herzegovina at the World Court. He served as a legal advisor to the Palestinian delegation to the Middle East peace negotiations from 91 to 93. Folks, that is just barely a quarter of Dr. Francis Boyle's sterling resume. And it was Dr. Boyle who came on to these airwaves more than two years ago now, and to my knowledge, was the first to break the BioLab Wuhan story right here on the Alex Jones Show. And we're glad that he has taken the time to join us here today. Dr. Francis Boyle, I think the question here is obvious. What is going on with the Ukrainian biolabs? What are they for? What is the U.S. involvement in them? And why has the narrative been shifting over the last 2 weeks about them? Where would you like to begin, Dr. Francis Boyle?
Well, Owen, thank you very much for having me on, and my best to all my friends there at InfoWars. And I do want to thank Alex and you and others at InfoWars for letting me speak about the pandemic right from the very beginning. I have to establish my background here. In 1985, I gave a congressional briefing on Capitol Hill against the Reagan administration and its neoconservatives abusing DNA genetic engineering for the research, development, testing, and stockpiling and potential use of biological warfare weapons. That's how long this has been going on, Owen. And as a result, at the end of that briefing, I called for implementing legislation for the United States for the Biological Weapons Convention. And then for the next, I drafted it, and then I worked with my colleagues and friends, the Council for Responsible Genetics, headquartered in Cambridge, Mass., that had some of the top life scientists in the world affiliated with it, and some of the most ethical and principled life scientists in the world, to get it, lobby it through Congress. The Reaganites and their neocons fought us tooth and nail, because they knew full well I was coming directly after them with the punishment of life in prison. The Department of Justice wanted me to put the death penalty in there, but I'm a lifelong abolitionist, so I toughed it out and said no, life imprisonment. Finally, my legislation was approved by both houses of the United States Congress unanimously and signed into law by President Bush Sr., to his credit. The Reaganites were out and the neocons, and with the approval of the Department of Justice. Now, that was May of 1989, the Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989, and I have been fighting against the U.S. Biological Warfare Weapons Establishment, the British establishment, and others ever since then. And based on my knowledge, judgment, and experience and everything I have seen in the public record so far, yes, these are biological warfare weapons, offensive biological warfare weapons laboratories set up by the Pentagon. Remember, the Pentagon does not do missionary work. They kill people. And that's why they are there. And it is now coming out. I've seen some of the documents produced by the Russian government. Yes, it appears that's exactly what they were doing. Indeed, there is a BSL-3 down there in Odessa. And if you look at websites for BSL-3s, which I have done repeatedly, you will see they research, develop, test, stockpile, prepare for use every type of hideous Nazi biological warfare weapon you can possibly imagine, using DNA genetic engineering, gain of function, and now synthetic biology, which, by the way, I also covered in my Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act. Every U.S. citizen and resident involved in these activities is subject to life imprisonment under my statute. Now, the other day you saw Nuland admit that there were biowarfare labs there in Ukraine. As you know, Nuland is a neoconservative. As I said, these neoconservatives have been pushing and involved in biological warfare research, development, and testing, going all the way back to Reagan when they first came to power. And in this regard, Owen, as we know, Nuland also had a critical role to play in overthrowing the democratically elected government in Ukraine under Yanukovych and establishing a gang of neo-Nazis there in power in Kiev who are still in power. But I did hear, Owen, want to refer more recently to the neoconservative manifesto. And remember, Nuland's a neoconservative, so she knows what she's talking about. And this was the Project for a New American Century, PNAC, I'm sure you're familiar with. If memory serves me correctly, I think John Bolton was the executive editor of that. But in any event, here's what the neoconservative manifesto said September 2000, just as they before they came to power under Bush Jr., including Nuland. And this is from page 55 of my book, Biowarfare and Terrorism. I have it all in there. Here, in their seminal report on building America's defenses, the neoconservatives publicly recommended numerous policies for adoption by the United States government, in particular with respect to biological warfare, and I quote, and advanced forms of biological warfare that can target specific genotypes may transform biological warfare from the realm of terror to a politically useful tool, unquote. Now, that's the neocon manifesto, the Project for New American Century. I can't recall if Nuland signed it, but she's in cahoots with all these neocons. So, yes, ethnic-specific biological warfare weapons. The Pentagon has been working on that for quite some time. As we know, in the immediate past, American sources were over in Russia harvesting DNA. And I did give interviews over in Russia at that time. They asked me, well, why are they harvesting DNA? And I said, because they are going to try to develop ethnic-specific biological weapons that would target ethnic Russians, a weapon of genocide. This would be very similar to Zbigniew Brzezinski's counter-ethnic targeting when he worked for Carter, that Brzezinski's targeting theory was that the great Russian ethnic group control Russia, and so in our nuclear targeting, we should target them and destroy them, and then the Soviet Union would collapse. And I've already written on that saying that's genocidal too. So this, the allegations that have come out so far and from what I've read in the public so far are consistent with my opposition to biological weapons and the neoconservative support for biological weapons going back to about 1983. That's my opinion.
And when was your book published, the Bioweapons and Terrorism book?
That was in 2005.
So this information has been readily available since 2005. Dr. Francis Boyle is with us. We got to go to a break. Folks, tell friends and family to tune into this. This is the information the corrupt American media is trying to cover up right now. Dr. Francis Boyle is my guest. Incredible information in the last segment. I want to provide a little framework to it here with the current news cycle and get him to respond to this. We've had the Western media and intelligence agencies within 48 hours last week go from the labs don't exist, and then they got their wires crossed. Then Nuland in front of Congress says, oh, the labs do exist. then, okay, wait, they don't exist from the State Department and Psaki, and then, no, they do exist, but they're health labs, but Russia's going to use them for biological warfare. So clearly the government's lying. Clearly the American media is lying about this as well. And then the big news has to be that Putin was right when he said that the Pentagon and Ukraine have biological weapons labs in Ukraine that have race-specific weapons research. He was right about that, just like he was right about the neo-Nazis. That's just a fact. You can love Putin, hate Putin. He's not the one lying about these situations. And you also mentioned the BSL-3. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but the lab in Wuhan, that was a BSL-4. And is a BSL-3 the highest level they have in Ukraine? And what is the significance of that, Dr. Francis Boyle?
Yeah, as I pointed out previously to Alex, the Wuhan is a BSL-4 like Fort Detrick. Indeed, the Wuhan BSL-4 is China's Fort Detrick. And the big difference between the BSL-3 and the BSL-4 is that the BSL-4 can work with the highest category of dangerous pathogens and, in addition, aerosolize them by means of nanotechnology, which the Wuhan BSL-4 has done. So at that Wuhan BSL-4, if you see the pictures of the Chinese bat queen there who helped develop COVID-19 with the University of North Carolina BSL-3, you will see she's wearing a moon suit with her own air supply. And that you do at a BSL-4 in order to the BSL-4 at Wuhan bragged on their webpage that they have applied nanotechnology to viruses, making it an infinitesimal size so that it can float on the air, in the air, under the air, whatever. And so even we've had scientists studies saying that COVID-19 can travel anywhere from 20 to 30 feet in the air, right? Whereas you don't really have that. Yeah, you don't really have that at a BSL-3, but you can do almost every other hideous type of biological warfare work you can possibly imagine at a BSL-3. I mean, just read the web pages for BSL-3s. Yes.
So you had China addressing the UN, and you've had Putin and other Russian state affiliates saying, what's going on with these biolabs? We know that there's at least 30 of them in Ukraine. I guess the highest level was the one in Odessa, which is kind of, I believe, southeastern Ukraine. So what is the significance of this? How many biolabs are there in Ukraine, and what are they doing there, do you believe, Dr. Francis Boyle?
Sure. There has been a comprehensive policy for quite some time by the United States government and the Pentagon to surround Russia with biological warfare laboratories. We also have them in Central Asia as well, and to preposition biological warfare weapons to use against them. It's very clear the pattern that has gone on here. Yes, my opinion.
And so you have Victoria Nuland, who, in my opinion, has blood on her hands in Ukraine for now almost 10 years with the neocon war hawk policy in Ukraine, using Ukraine as just kind of an operating ground of Western interests and NATO as kind of the conduit for their money laundering and weapons laundering. And Russia is just sick of it. So we've now reached this point where the American media and our government, they got crossed, Dr. Francis Boyle. They were not even on the same page with their lies. They said they don't exist. No, they do exist. No, they don't exist. Oh, wait, they do exist, but they're quote-unquote health labs. But somehow this health lab is going to be used by Russia as a biological weapons. I mean, did they just not get their lies straight? Or are they just totally flummoxed? Are they that incompetent? Why the mixed messaging on these labs, do you think?
I really don't know, Owen, because I've been fighting against this since 1983. I've had a consistent message since 1983. But, you know, the problem with these neoconservatives like Nuland you know, they're diehard Machiavellians and neo-Nazis. I'm sure you've dealt with the neocons. I have in the legal profession. That's just the way they are. They say whatever they're going to say for whatever purpose they're going to say. So please don't ask me. I mean, I understand their mentality because that's how long I've been up against them. They're Nazis. They have a Nazi mentality. There's no question about it in my mind. I've told this to Alex before. I know the American people have a hard time accepting this, but any government like our own that has researched, developed, tested, stockpiled for use biological warfare weapons in Ukraine against Russia, these people are Nazis. And that's the mentality we are dealing with here. I guess Newland just figured that since they control the mainstream news media, which they do, they can say whatever they want to.
You crafted the Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989. We've had Nuremberg trials. We have other international laws that go against chemical warfare, biological warfare. Why is the U.S. or Ukraine or whoever is involved in these labs, why are they above the law? Why do they get to operate these labs?
Well, they really don't. I mean, we run them. We put them in there. They're under our control and domination. Yeah, you can see the from your picture there, they're all around Russia. And that's, you know, these are our labs. Yes, they're there. They do what we tell them to do. But we control them, and it's because of the geographical location. Also, notice the labs you have over there near China. Right, the same policy against China. You have it there on the right off of China. So, sure, there it's no doubt. Why are all these labs positioned around Russia and positioned around China? They are to be used against Russia and China for sure.
He says it like it is that last week, I'll remind you that I put up a click-off for the book Biological Espionage by Alexander Kosmanov, and he was a former Department 12 KGB officer that specialized in terrorists using terroristic, microbiology, the creation of all kinds of biological weapon systems that were going to be used against the West. And so there's a click off. So go into our last week's program and go in there and click that off. I've been trying to get him. He's down in New Zealand now to interview. No one will talk to me about it. I'm getting too insightful here about some of these things. But the Russians had a program, a worldwide program to go after the West and take down the West using bioweapons. And so they're not lily white. Going into, when we're talking about bioweapons labs being set up around the Soviet Union, well, they had a program too. So both sides have oligarchs, and they're thieving the treasury. We have oligarchs in this country, and they're stealing our treasury blind too. So that's the way it is. Next is Jay Dyer. And he's talking about health issues and seed oils, but also the last half of this interview with his guest, he's talking about the book, The Molecular Vision of Life. And so these are people that and books that we've got to try to get hold of. And there's a man that comes up, Holder Hayden's name comes up. This being brought up by Jay Dyer. But anyway, here we go, talking about the molecular vision of life. This goes back to the 50s and 60s about mRNA, how it was to be used. So this is very insightful about the history of this. Here we go next.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of jaysanalysis.com. My guest host is the most bays, most beautiful transitioned person on the internet. He is a big fan of Funko Pops. He has the whole collection, basically. His nails are on fleek, and his name is Tristan Haggard of Primal Edge Health. And he was just getting into the benefits of a meat-based diet I know he's going to get into some interesting people that are worth reading. What's that classic book that everybody recommends? The guy who went and studied all the tribes. I always forget the guy's book. What is that book? Wesson A. Price, right?
Yeah. I mean, Wesson A. Price and his work on healthy populations, and it wasn't just indigenous tribes. I mean, he visited the Hebrides Islands off of Scotland. He visited the Loshento Valley of the Swiss, and he noticed there are certain commonalities among all these healthy cultures where there weren't people dying from tuberculosis, from cancer, and these were what he called the diseases of civilization. And essentially, what caused this, he found, was the introduction of processed foods. Right. All of these cultures, what Weston A. Price found in his book, which is a really important work on history, anthropology, and diet. His book is called Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. I think that's a great read for people who are looking at what a healthy human diet looks like. And what was common across the board from, South Pacific Islanders, healthy Swiss populations, American Indian populations, South American populations who didn't have the dental caries, the dental disease, the soy boy sucked in chin that was so prominent now in the West, they all focused heavily on animal foods, right? So we were talking a little bit at the end there about glyphosate, how it's a patented antibiotic. And a lot of these agrochemicals that, Alex so famously exposed the atrazine, right? All of these destroy the gut. They destroy our circulatory system. They destroy our fertility and our hormones. And they do this through doing damage to the gut, entering in through the most sensitive area in the body is actually the gut. You have more nerves and more highly sensitive nerve endings within the intestines and in the gut than you do in the tip of your fingers. That's why people get a gut feeling, right? Hormones get produced in the gut. You destroy the gut microbiome, and you destroy an organism's health. You destroy its ability to reproduce, and you destroy its vitality. So a lot of us are wrecked by the glyphosate, by the heavy antibiotic use, by chemical fertilizers, by chemicals in our atmosphere, right? That whether it be in our water, in the fluoride, the chlorine that gets put in the water, or the things that are even sprayed in our environment. So
a lot of people have been calling attention to seed oils too, and this is something that gets overlooked because we think, oh well, I'll just avoid GMO stuff and I'll just focus on vegetables or something like that. But actually, it's not just glyphosate that's used. It's also things like the seed oils that restaurants cook the food in. I consider myself fairly health, aware. I didn't even realize that seed oils are like that bad, right? So a lot of people are calling attention to this. I know you've been calling attention to it for a long time. And this is, again, just basically like, corporate sludge that they sell, just like the hydrofluorosalicylic acid that they dump into the water supply. It's just corporations basically saying, this is now, quote, healthy. So cities, you need to buy this from us and dump it in your water supply.
Yeah, the seed oils are a huge one. I mean, this is a new invention. The seed oils are all polyunsaturated fatty acids, which are highly easily oxidized, right? Any oil that is liquid at room temperature, right, that comes from a plant other than olive oil, right? Olive oil has a lot of monounsaturated fatty acids in it. Very low PUFA in olive oil. The PUFA is the polyunsaturated fat, and that is basically chemical sludge. Crisco was a criminal invention that was marketed to people instead of butter, instead of tallow, instead of lard. Butter, tallow, lard, these are animal fats. These are saturated fats that are stable at room temperature, that at high temperatures do not oxidize. These are the fats that we should be focused on.
Well, right? Tristan, I thought fats were bad for us. And according to Jimmy Carter's food pyramid, don't I need like 15 servings of grain as the basis of my food pyramid?
Yeah, exactly. This is the mistake that we've made. As a culture, we've been duped by industrial kibble suppliers, right? They want to sell you basically the equivalent of human pet food because that's what they want you to be, human pets who are easily managed from the biological level on up. And this is why a more meat-based diet, a carnivorous diet, and a diet based on quality, locally produced animal foods is going to result in better health. First of all, because these are the most easily digested foods. They lack the toxic compounds that we find in so many of the mass-produced plant foods. Not that plant foods are bad, but many of us have damaged guts and are unable to handle a lot of legumes, even a lot of, you know, nightshades. Many people do not handle and digest these foods well. So when you remove the possible irritants from the diet and focus on the most easily digested foods, which are animal foods, you're not only getting everything your body needs, but you're not giving it all the crap that it doesn't need and that it rejects. These seed oils that people are eating, those actually get integrated into our mitochondria. They get integrated into our cell membranes, and they make our cell membranes more prone to oxidation, to destruction, right? And then that leads to inflammatory processes going wild throughout the body, autoimmune conditions, and just general obesity, diabetes, cancers, right? When they these seed oils can greatly increase your risk of cancer. The mechanisms are well known. This has been studied. But, of course, these are profitable foods, right? Guess what one of the biggest exporter of sunflower seed oil in the world is President Batman Zelensky's Ukraine, right? I don't need any beef. Give me the Beyond Meat. Give me the soy burger. Right. I don't need a.
Well, you know, that's funny that you said that, because this week I've seen multiple articles coming out about not just in regard to the biolabs, but how there is evidence of, or at least the Russian government is claiming evidence of, experimentation done by these biolabs. And my assumption would be, if this is, quote, the breadbasket of the world, right, Ukraine is the breadbasket, then I'm assuming that they're also doing genetic modification experimentation there as well. And that would make sense with all of these, you know, Pentagon-funded bio labs there. I'm sure they're doing GMO experimentation too. And, you know, people are always asking, you know, why are you always wiping your eyes or snorting? It's because I've got mega allergies, dude. You think it's my fault? You think I wanted to have Spurgatron-level allergies, Spurgatron 5000? No. Bill Gates was basically standing over my crib when I was born, and he pretty much said, I'll give him a bunch of vaccines. I want him to get all the vaccines. Give him all the vaccines. Get his numbers down. So I've been, you know, vaccinated by Bill. That's how I look at it. And so that's why I have allergies. That's why, in order to treat allergies, I resorted to the kind of diet that you're talking about, because there is a connection between the gut biome and allergies. And so, you know, again, all of these things go together is the point, right? The foods that we're getting, the water that we drink, it's a binary weapon. That's where you have two different compounds that come together to actually create the toxic effect. A lot of people don't know about that, but a lot of the Global Elite books talk about binary weapons, and you and I are going to get into, when we come back, this book that I've not yet covered. So actually, Tristan stumbled upon a really relevant Global Elite books. As you guys know, we do the Global Elite book series where I lecture through 50 to 60 of the writings of the elite themselves. And one of those books he found from a Rockefeller-funded study slash researcher, Lily Kay, is about the molecular vision of life. And so we're going to look at that here in a minute. But why don't you finish up, Tristan, with what you want to say about big ag, big food, and how it's not food, right?
Exactly. I mean, these are biotech products, and this does tie into the Rockefeller Foundation and what they call the new science of man, right, which is essentially eugenics, right? So they've degraded our immune systems. You know, nobody who had freaking allergies to every type of grass, like, you know, I mean, I grew up with allergies as well. That's why you frequently see, like, white powder all over Jay and my nose, and that's from, we were having to sniffle. We had white powder all over our nose and our mustaches because of allergies, for sure.
Well, the cocaine is the one thing that helps me breathe clearly, right? So, and then you're basically down there in Panama, or one of those countries where you're a drug lord, so it's easy for you to get it, but, yeah.
Exactly. So the foods we eat are important, right? So, and a big, you know, shout out to my wife, who has the carnivore cookbook. You can get that at the website, primaledgehealth.com. A lot of people, when they go meat-based, they find that all of these little autoimmune things improve.
That methodology is through understanding the Global Elite books. And so I want to get to that book that Tristan came across, which was an excellent find, and it's the Molecular Vision of Life. Can you tell us about this Rockefeller research project and why this is such an insightful text into the Global Elite mindset?
Yeah, Jay. So This is actually a book by Dr. Lily E. Kay. She's an MIT researcher. She, as far as I know, was not funded by the Rockefeller Foundation, but in fact was investigating the history of the Rockefeller Foundation and the formation of these kind of interdisciplinary studies type projects that led to essentially the entire field of molecular biology.
So wait a minute. So is she one of their people, or is she writing an expose?
No. She wrote this as more of an academic report, right? She didn't mean this to be some sort of, this is not like a conspiracy theorist or anything. She worked for MIT and was studying the history of the rise of the new science of man and molecular biology. It actually ended up inadvertently being a massive expose on the worldview, the eugenics roots, and the funding mechanisms for social control and social engineering. So she came at this academically. But I mean, she published this in 1993, and this book, it's called The Molecular Vision of Life, Caltech, the Rockefeller Foundation, and the Rise of the New Biology. It's a fascinating look at the history of the rise of what the Rockefeller Foundation called the new science of man. And they wanted to engineer a new man by breaking man down to his smallest components, essentially down to the molecular level. And what's fascinating is it talks about here on, page 273, how the messenger RNA technology was the result of massive funding programs to coordinate universities, the military, right, and the post-World War II economy in order to fight communism and destroy the communists was the excuse. But they needed international participation, and the new buzzword these days is public-private partnerships. The Rockefeller Foundation championed this. They spearheaded this style of corporate and government projects working with universities and academia in order to engineer a new man. Now, she talks about here on page 273 the development of this huge breakthrough in what they call the chemical feat of synthesizing a heterogeneous messenger RNA. By 1965, the representation of heterocatalysis in terms of a genetic code had been completed. The transcriptional specifications for all the amino acids were on paper, and in theory, molecular biology had the cognitive apparatus for direct genetic intervention and for designing artificial life. So remember when Elon Musk said you can basically turn a human into a butterfly using mRNA? Then, of course, you know, Operation Warp Speed brought to us by Pfizer and the United States government, the public-private partnership in the war effort against the virus, right? The war effort against the COVID. This is all the same modus operandi that was used by the Rockefeller Foundation to bring about new GMO food technologies, to bring about new social sciences, right, in university, the psychology, psychiatry, and the marriage between government, pharmaceutical companies, and the public and private sector. It's the same exact modus operandi. And she wrote in this book in 1993 about the breakthroughs that happened in 1964, right? They have been postulating that we can use mRNA and injections and modification at the cellular level in order to transform man and mutate him, to create whatever we want out of him.
Yeah, exactly. That was something that surprised me when I came across, you know, certain alternative media people who had been claiming that. I heard that first about 10 years ago, and I went and found the actual papers. You can look up Dr. Holder Hayden's papers that he presented at the 1969 CA Mind Control Conference. Yes, that's real. I'm not making that up. That's an actual conference they had out in, I think, San Francisco. A bunch of doctors came, a bunch of medical professionals, a bunch of psychologists, psyops people went and gave these lectures on controlling the mind. And it shouldn't be surprising given the fact that Dr. Jose Delgado, the famous MK Ultra doctor, actually wrote Physical Control of the Mind, right? The guy who, you know, famously put the electrodes in the brains of the bulls and whatnot. Yeah, exactly. And by the way, same publisher of, you know, all of the Jonas Salk books, right? So if you're looking for the writings of the elite, just look up the publisher of those books there. They publish all of them. But, I say that to point out that in the Holger Hayden papers back from the late 60s, he was talking about how the, reversing the genetics to make the men more feminine and the women more masculine. So in the late 60s, they already had that as a plan. And it wasn't to create the Ubermensch. They're not doing it to make you into a superhero, right? You the Marvel soy man, are not being made into a hero. They don't like you. You're not the star of this show here. You are slated to destruction in the same way that Thanos snapped his fingers and depopulated the universe. If you did happen to see the Marvel Avengers last few installments, right? Thanos depopulates. He has this eugenics mindset, which is odd that they put that in the film, but he gets rid of half the beings in the universe because he believes, you know, something like depopulation. Anyway, the point is that in the 1960s, the Holger Haydn papers, which are cited by Arthur Koestler in Ghost in the Machine, he says these are binary weapons where we will flip everybody's basically genetic code. So that when the women become more masculine and the men become more feminine, the whole point of this is just to depopulate so that they don't have offspring. So it's an attack on the pee-pee, basically, and the ovaries.
Wow. Yeah. Well said, man. Yeah, it's an attack on biology from the fundamental level. And again, these are reductionist materialists, at least at the lower levels at the universities, the people who are studying this stuff. So when you read somebody like Dr. Jose Delgado, the book Physical Control of the Mind that Jay was just talking about, which I don't know, maybe like a third through this book, kind of making my way through it slowly. It is a fascinating look into the mind of absolute psychopaths, right? This guy basically said there is no reason to believe in human beings having an internal state at all. All we care about is the physical manifestation in the external world. All we care about is reducing.
They're all rank materialists. Yes, and that's a great point. So the presupposition that's running through the Rockefeller Foundation in terms of the molecular vision of life, the attitude of Big Pharma is that human beings are just a collection of chemicals anyway. So we can alter them to be what we want them to be in a domesticated way by just throwing chemicals at them. Right. So mind control, because the mind is the brain. I mean, that's the presupposition of Jose Delgado and even all the behaviorists, Watson, J.B. Watson, Pavlov, all of those people had the assumption that the Skinner box. I mean, you want to talk about psych? If he puts his daughter in a box to like operant condition, mind control her through trauma, literally trauma based mind control. Look up the Skinner box, all funded by the Rockefellers, by the way. Because they view us as merely meat sacks. We're just meat sacks that can be programmed or deprogrammed as we need. So, Tristan, tell us your website. Where can everybody find you and follow you real quick?
Awesome. Thanks, Jay. It's an honor coming on. You can find more over at primaledgehealth.com. You can find me over on Rockfin as well. Tristan Haggard over on Rockfin. So, really appreciate it.
Absolutely, yep. And your nails are on fleek. You're one of the most beautiful e-celebrities out there. Shout out to you. Also, follow me over at Jay's Analysis and on all the social media platforms.
See, we've been, you could say, engineered into being a slave using chemicals and bioweapon systems on us and fluoride and chlorine, everything else. The rise of our health problems coincide. They're parallel to the rise of the chemical industry. And so if you look at the rise of the chemical industry, our health, illnesses and so forth, they parallel and they track on a parallel basis. But anyway, I'm going to finish this. There's an interview that was, by Harrison Smith of the American Journal that he had, with Stuart Rhodes. And Stuart Rhodes, I think, is being held right now in prison in Washington, D.C. because of his January 6th, there are allegations of him. But he denies that, and I believe Stuart Rhodes. He's a forthright person. But anyway, this is an interview of him on a telephone from within prison there. So here we go with Stuart Rhodes.
They left out, as you were pointing out, the claims you were making and still make about how this was an unconstitutional election, because if they were to leave that in, people might read it and go, now wait, what's he talking about? I better look into this. Oh, it does look like something happened here. Maybe, you know, Stewart's cause wasn't some crazy, wild, insane conspiracy theory. It was a constitutional concern that everybody in America should be worried about. So just continue in your response to this article, Stewart.
What's the left does is from the very inception of Oath Keepers, like from Southern Poverty Law Center attacking us, they never will ever admit you have any kind of legitimate grievance or any credibility. they're always casting you as a crazy person, or that you have nefarious intent, and, you know, driven by racial animus, that you're a racist somehow.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. As we're all distracted by war in Ukraine and the collapse of the economy and any number of other schemes by the Democrats bringing death and destruction worldwide, there's another very concerted effort to destroy any resistance to their tyrannical takeover. And, of course, the man at the center of this is none other than Stuart Rhodes, president and founder of the Oath Keepers, who now sits in prison, the American gulag, as he awaits trial for the baseless claims of the DOJ that he attempted to foment some sort of insurrection or coup. And of course, this story is there's new steps to this every single day. It seems like there's more stuff coming out. They seem desperate to really maximize January 6th. I mean, to the full extent, they're not giving up. They're not giving in. They're going after anybody who ever talked to anybody who was involved at this, in an effort to completely destroy the patriotic movement in this country. And so we are joined now by Stuart Rhodes, dispatch from the American Gulag. Welcome to the show, Stuart. How are you?
I'm good, Harrison. How are you?
Very good. Let's just get right into it. What is the latest with your case, and where do you see this whole January 6th show trial going?
Well, the ultimate target, of course, is President Trump. So what they've done, it's important for everyone to know that Benny Thompson, who chairs the January 6th committee, filed a lawsuit way back in February 16th, 2021, just over a month after January 6th. In that lawsuit, he accused President Trump, Rudy Giuliani, Oath Keepers and Proud Boys of conspiring to disrupt Congress by force on January 6th. That was the game plan. The whole January 6th committee is just a smoke and mirrors dog and pony show to get them to their ultimate goal, which is to accuse Trump of crimes. And the DOJ persecution is the same exact thing. All they're doing is that's the narrative, that's their goal. And that's what you need to understand, that the ultimate target is President Trump himself and, of course, the entire MAGA movement. And now they're just going back and manufacturing the evidence to get them there. And most recent development is they've coerced Josh James, one of the Oath Keepers who went into the Capitol to testify, to bear false witness against the rest of us and commit perjury, by saying that I, way back in November of 2020, planned to disrupt Congress by force on January 6th, an absolute lie. But this is what they do. They coerce people with huge stacks of charges where they can face decades in jail, and then coerce them to turn on other people and lie. And that's what the DOJ does, and that's what they're doing now. And so, unfortunately, he's committing the sin of bearing false witness, and I pray for his soul, frankly.
Yeah, so he's been charged with seditious conspiracy, obviously facing potentially decades in prison, but then he's told, we are not after you. We don't want the small fish. I mean, it's classic. I mean, they're treating you guys like you're the New York mob, right? You participated in a peaceful protest, as far as I'm concerned. I never heard you discuss seditious conspiracy. You were always forthright and open about what your purpose of going to Washington, D.C. there to participate in the peaceful protest against what you saw as a stolen election that I think is a perfectly valid and constitutionally appropriate redress to demand from the government. And so they go, we're not after you. We're after the big guy, right? We're after the boss of this mafia, as if you, Stuart Rhodes, are a murderer and a thief. I mean, they're going after you like you are Don Corleone, a murderous mobster. They're using the same tactics and they're using the same threats of, you'll pay for this crime unless you give us who we really want, who is your boss, who told us. And so they say whatever they need to say in order to get their charges down. I mean, this is just classic RICO tactics, isn't it?
But the ultimate target is Trump. He's the big fish they're going after. And their hope, of course, is to get more of us to roll over and then bear false witness against Trump. But I'm not going to. There's no friggin' way. I'm never going to do that. Well, I won't bear false witness. To me, it's a sin.
Yeah,
that's the ultimate target.
Let's drill down on that because, you know, as you've pointed out to me, a lot of people out there, Republicans, are especially guilty of this, are ready to throw you guys under the bus. Well, the January 6th guys, Ted Cruz says you're terrorists, and you know all the respectable Republicans want nothing to do with you. Well, we condemn them. Do whatever you want with them. Throw them into jail for life. Cut their heads off. We could care less. We're the good guys. I mean, they need to understand it's not because you did anything bad. It's because you're an easy target, and once they get you, they're moving up the chain. I mean, this is a threat to our existence as a nation, especially as a republic. Talk about that a little bit, about the goal being ultimately Trump and all Republicans, and how, you know, they can't just ignore what's happening to you.
Yeah, it's like some Jews in Germany saying, we're the good Jews. We'll be good. It's those bad ones over there. You go ahead and get after them. This is what happened in Germany, right? Like the Pastor Niemeyer said later when it came from the trade unionist, I said nothing because I wasn't a trade unionist. You know, on down the line of people until it came to him, there's no one else left to say anything about it. That's what's happening in this country. This is the beginning of a totalitarian regime. It's not going to stop. It's not going to stop with January 6th defendants. It's not going to stop with President Trump. They're going after the entire America First, Make America Great Again movement. They see all of you as enemies. You understand that you're in lawfare. This is war by law, through the use of law as a weapon of war against the entire MAGA movement. That's what this is. And yes, it's going to be against all Republicans too. Even the squishy rhinos eventually will be thrown in the gulag too, because the left will not tolerate anybody who's not in direct line with them. It's a uniparty. You must obey or you're done. That's where we're going.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, obviously they are very, very concerned at destroying your reputation and making anybody out there scared to support you by framing you as just the worst person in the world, which, again, anybody who watches this show or InfoWars who's followed your work for years knows exactly what you're all about and knows that it's in line 100% with the Constitution and our founding fathers in the most legal and patriotic way. So it's outrageous to make the claims that they're making. But there's a recent story from The Intercept. They titled it The Lonely Revolutionary, that had a lot of stuff to say about you. And I know you had stuff that they left out. And I want to know if you wanted to express some of the things that they refused to put in this article.
Well, the biggest one, of course, is what we talked about last time I talked to you, is that not only am I saying that the Constitution, that the election was stolen, but that it was unconstitutional. It did not comply with either Article 1, Section 4, which governs congressional elections, or Article 2, Section 1, which governs the selection of the electors. It must be by the state legislatures. That's who decides these things. And so the black letter law of the Constitution wasn't followed. And the author of that piece, Mike Giglio, of course, left that out. And he just parrots the standard leftist, you know, line of view of us is, well, these are all just crazy people that have delusional thoughts, and none of this is valid. That's the oldest trick in the book, that the opposition, that nothing the opposition is saying has any credence, that there are no legitimate grievances, that they're all either crazy people or, of course, we're all racist.
Yes, that seems to be the word that, you know, anyone that disagrees with you, you're a racist and so forth. Well, that pretty well concludes our program for this week. And I just hope and pray that this, the January 6th prisoner there, will be treated fairly and liberated out of that detention, because they did not go up there. Most of those people, these are fabricated. And the committee, it's all propaganda. And they didn't go up there to cause harm to anyone. And certainly Stuart Rhodes didn't. But anyway, I hope and pray for them. And getting back to this, the Ukraine, I believe that Russia will be forced to negotiate some kind of a settlement. There'll be a ceasefire within a week or two. And I just hope and pray that that will come to a peaceful end. And Zelensky is being controlled by one of the biggest oligarchs in, you could say, Ukraine. But I think he has pure motives. What I've seen of him and the way he's handled himself, I would have to say that President Zelensky is sincere about trying to hold. He's there. He didn't run off. He could have run off, you know, but he didn't. He stayed there to force a showdown and to try to save his country. So I have faith that he will negotiate with the Russians, staying out of NATO and other agreements. But anyway, thank you very much for listening. Good night, and God bless each and every one of you. Good night.